Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
And he says something about vision. The vision or mission of an organization belongs to the people and not the leader. The vision or the mission of an organization belongs to the people and not the leader. That's a very important statement. It is from God through the leader, but really belongs to the people. So the people must lay hold of it as their own. Hallelujah. It's so simple, but it carries within it the way that God wants his church to be. That the church must operate with a vision and a mission, and this vision belongs to the people, not the leader. Sometimes we have had situations where people literally talk about the vision of a leader, the vision of a pastor, but really the vision is from the Lord and it comes through a person, and the ultimate owners of the vision should be the people. So leadership must endeavor to give ownership of the vision to the people. They must stop claiming the vision as their vision. It is from the Lord through a leader, but it actually belongs to the people. Until you are able as a leader to give ownership of what you saw to the people, you have not really done well as a leader. It is when the people have fully owned the vision that came through you that you can say that your work is done. Otherwise, your work is not really, really done as a leader. And the people who follow, as it were, who belong to the organization, must learn to receive vision from the leader of the organization. You see, because sometimes we want God to give us personal visions and things like that. But once you belong to an organization, say a church, there is a vision for which that organization or church was set up. And once you belong there, you must be ready to let your personal visions die. Until you come to the point where you let your personal vision die, so that the bigger vision of the whole organization is the one that is your focus and that you champion, you do not really belong to the organization. You belong to the organization when you have taken ownership of the vision of the organization. Hallelujah. Until we come to the point in the body of Christ, and we are soon getting there, where we learn to let our own personal ambitions, our own personal objectives, where we learn to subordinate it under the bigger vision, the organization is going nowhere. But God desires that we will learn, as we come into followership, we will understand, we will learn to die to our personal goals, dreams, visions, and uphold that of the organization. And the wonderful thing, as it is with the ways of God, is that when you learn to let your vision die for you to uphold a bigger vision, then your vision will come alive. That's how it is. But when you see, you can so much focus on your ambition in life, your goal in life, you call it your personal goal, to a point where the vision or the goal of the organization mean nothing to you. You can so focus on it that when there is a clash between the vision or the ambition, goal, dream, mission of the organization and your personal one, and you cannot
Let yours die, suffer, so to speak. That's what I mean by die. For that of the organization to be upheld and to thrive, then you are not doing well as somebody belonging to the organization. And we will all come to that place where our personal things must die. And we can pray like Jesus, that not as I want, but as you want. You see, because the church of the Lord, or any organization that you belong to for that matter, is bigger than you. It's more important than you, so to speak. Because you are limited, you will go, but the organization or the church is meant to go on and on and on and on. So, in 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, you will die and go. But in 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, the organization or the church must still be around, and it must be doing well as far as the original vision that was the organization was set up with is fulfilled. Hallelujah. This is something that many times people struggle with. People struggle with this conflict between their ambition and that of the organization where they belong, that of the church. People struggle with it, especially when they are young. When they are young, God gives them a vision. God maybe says something over their lives. They don't see why they should subordinate it under the bigger vision of the organization. And they try, they go through a lot of struggles to get their own thing established. And you see that that is not God's way of establishing your vision or your goal in life. But I want you to understand, whether you are young or not, that visions will never materialize until they go through a process of dying, where you see that, oh, I thought in so and so time I should maybe have this house, I should possess this thing, I should have completed this program, I should have been abroad, you know, those personal things. It has to die. Otherwise, there is no way it will get life and it will do well. So if you are young, listen to very good advice. Hallelujah. The church of the Lord is bigger than any individual in the church. Hallelujah. So we must learn to lay hold of the vision as our own. Look at the book of Revelations chapter 1 and then verse 1. The revelation or the vision of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. So it came from God. It came to Jesus Christ. God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Here we see a vision of Jesus Christ, a revelation of Jesus Christ, a picture of Jesus Christ. And if you look at it, you see that it's a future picture. It's Jesus glorified, not Jesus on this earth, which was given to Jesus, and Jesus Christ also gave to an angel, and the angel is supposed to pass it on to who? John. And John is supposed to pass it on to the servants, that's the pastors. Okay, and of course the pastors are also supposed to pass it on. Wow. So that's the process. But the vision belongs to the church, not the individual. It's wonderful. I want us to go through some few things about vision. Seven or so things very quickly. Number one, we want to look at the importance of vision. Importance of vision. I believe something very strongly, that when the church of the living God, and we are gradually coming to that place, come to that place of the operating by the vision God has put upon their various organizations and all that, if we come to that place, and we are soon coming there, then we are going to have our nations also doing well as far as God's vision is concerned. In other words, when we improve leadership in the house of God, leadership will improve in the nation. Why? Because we are the light of the world. the Philistines, if you remember, Samson was troubling the Philistines a lot. But when they got hold of Samson, they did not put away his hands. It was with his hands that he was killing them. It was with his legs that he was running and chasing after them. But they did not cut off the hands of Samson, nor maybe maim Samson. Do you know what they did? They took out his eyes. And that is what the devil always does. One of the first places you attack or he aims at is not your hands, but it is what? Your eyes. That's your vision. Because they knew that if they could take away his eyes, his strength will be of no use and he will self-destruct. And that is how it is. In the end, Samson self-destruct. He destroyed his own self. Because when you do not have eyes, or when your eyes are taken out, then you can have all the power. You can have all the money. You can have all the anointings. But once you do not have the sight that God wants you to walk in, what is going to happen is that you will misuse the energies of the spirit. You will misuse the funds which are available to you. And in the end, you will self-destruct. So vision is important in the life of individuals and in the life of the church. Now, the first thing why visions are important, number one, it is God's way of leading us. Vision is God's way of leading us. He makes us to see so that we get convicted. He gets you convicted before anything becomes real. Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7. The Bible makes us to know that surely the Lord will do nothing. Can we all say surely? Surely. Surely means that don't doubt it. That's how the things are designed. It says that truly the Lord will do nothing. Can we all say nothing? The Lord will do nothing until he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So that is the way that God operates. Sometimes we want God to do things in our lives. What have you seen? Because depending on what you see, then God can get into action in your life. So sometimes we get into that kind of situation where we are believing that things are going to happen in our lives and things like that. But I'll show you something else, that it isn't just what you believe, it is what you see. Wow. It is what you see. So vision is God's way of leading us. He gets us to be convicted. And that is the whole understanding behind the concept of faith. Faith means what? Faith means that you see something with your heart before the thing becomes real in your physical life. So it's about the same thing. Before something, you realize something physically, you should have seen it in your heart. You should have seen it with the eyes of your heart before you can take hold of it. So that is the first importance of vision. It is God's way of leading us. It's God's way of getting things done in our lives. You see with your heart before with your physical eyes. Number two, you can only seize, S-I-E-Z-E. You can only seize what you can see. You can only seize what you can see. Okay? It is only what you can see that you can lay your hands upon. If I cannot see this pulpit, how can I lay my hands upon it? Take me to a room, I cannot see it. How can I lay my hands on a microphone, which is in a big hall, when I do not see? So, you can only seize or lay hold of what on what you see. And that is what God, write down Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 15. That is the kind of thing that God was teaching Abraham. He told Abraham that he should come out of his tent and look up into the skies. Abraham looked into the starry skies and he could see plenty of stars. And God said that because of what he has seen, he was going to physically see his children like that. Okay, so write this also down. God promises us what we see, not what we believe. God promises us what we see, not what we believe. Believing is a first stage, so to speak, or one of the conditions for us to realize the things of God, what God has promised us. But it is not all. Really, we have to see before we believe. If we don't see, we cannot really believe. Okay, let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. The King James Version says, or imagine. According to the power that works in us, God is able to do, and do is a verb. It gets into action when He has worked on what we think. So thinking comes before what? God doing something. And thinking or imagining has got to do with picturing the future. Memory is picturing the past, but imagination is picturing the future. It has to do with vision. So, God visits our minds, our imagination, before He visits our lives. Look also at the book of Proverbs and chapter 23, verse 7. It says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how does a man realize things physically in his life? It says that it's according to what he thinks. As he thinks in his heart, so does he become physically. So will he act physically. So I want you to note something that sometimes we miss out when we read this verse. The Bible did not say that as a man has in his heart, so is he. Because you can have something in your heart, but if you don't see that thing, you don't become it. It says that when you have something in your heart, you think upon it. As you think in your heart, so do you become physically what you are brooding over. Hallelujah. So God desires for us to go beyond just believing, but He wants us to come to that point where our believing is really stemmed out of what we are seeing. Believing that comes out of what you see is stronger and is a proper believing. Wow. That is why faith has got to do with what you see. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It has got to do with your sight. What you see. What you think in your heart. Not what you have in your heart. Paul put it this way. He says, I believe and I am persuaded. I believe and I am persuaded. That is a point of being so convicted. I believe and I am persuaded. May God bring us to that place where deep in our hearts we have a good picture, we have His picture of our lives in the future, so that it will become activated in our physical lives. Number three, vision gives birth to faith. Vision gives birth to faith. Genesis 15, 2 and 5. I think that is where he was talking about coming out to.
see in the tent. Genesis 13 speaks about Abraham lifting up his eyes to see the land God had promised, the land he was standing on, to the north, to the various dimensions, and as he sees God was going to give. Genesis chapter 15 is where he's talking about Abraham coming out of the tent and God saying, looking up, look up to the skies, and then he could see the stars, and God said that he was going to give him children like the stars that he was looking at. And the Bible says that Abraham believed. But I want us to go to the New Testament and look at John chapter 4, verse 48. Vision is important because vision is going to give birth to faith in your life. John chapter 4 and then verse 48. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says that, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. In other words, Jesus was saying that what you see is going to affect what you believe. Is that right? So he says that when you see something, then you will believe. In the Greek, the word translated sign is an indication. Unless you people see some indications. And the word that is translated wonder is the word omen. Unless you see indications and omen, you will not believe. And that is very true. In the natural, there is a saying that seeing is believing. Human beings believe what they see. So, when you see something with your heart, you will believe it. So, what you see is going to give birth to faith in your life. Hallelujah. The next point is that vision, that's the next importance. It should be number what? Number four. Good. Vision enhances cooperation. It enhances cooperation with other people. Vision enhances cooperation with other people. Okay? Paul was given a vision and blindness at the same time. So that what? So that he would need Ananias. I read that scripture in the book of Acts, and I said to myself, wow, somebody has an encounter with Jesus and then the person becomes blind. Should that be the case? Do you have an encounter with Jesus and then you get a sickness on top of it? But Paul did. He saw this light shining from heaven, and by the time he came to himself, he was blind. Because vision will blind you to some things so that you rely upon other people. In that way, vision enhances cooperation with other people. Because the vision that God is going to reveal to you is going to lock you into something. And there is a certain saying, I'm sure you've heard about it, I don't know, but have you heard about locking lockout? When you lock into something, you lock out to all other things. That's how human beings are. When you lock into a certain understanding of a certain Bible verse, you lock out all other understanding. That's naturally how human beings behave. A locking lockout principle. So when God locks you in a certain conviction, you need other people to tell you that this other side is going astray, so that you will not end up saying, well, God has given me a vision and that is it. I don't need anybody. God will always give you blindness with a vision, so that you will need the cooperation of other people. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 11, 12, Paul spoke about numerous visions, revelations he had. And he says, because of the abundance of vision, God gave him a thorn in his flesh. And it was that thorn in his flesh that people had to minister to. The church of Galatia, for example, ministered to Paul's thorn in the flesh, because vision enhances cooperation with other people. Diversity is God's way of uniting us. And that is how he uses vision. 4. And then number 5.
A vision limits you and thus reveal your humanness. A vision of God will limit you. You'll be amazed that God gave you a vision and it limited you. But that is God's way of revealing your humanness. Paul's thorn in the flesh is a classic example. Number six, a vision of God redeems you from self-destructing. Vision redeems from self-destructing. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Earlier on, I told you about Samson. When he lost his vision, he used the strength in his limbs to destroy himself. You see? So when you lose your vision, God's reason for planting you on this earth, when you live continually short of it, you will self-destruct. It is like a machine that is manufactured to help us record sound, amplify sound, like this mixer. And you see that because the mixer looks somewhat like a drum, electronic drum, you are going to use sticks to drum on it. That's not the purpose of that thing. So it may sound for a little while, but because that is not why it was manufactured and placed on earth, it will self-destruct. It will get destroyed. Because when you do not fulfill what God planted you in this earth to do, then what are you doing with the energy, Samson? What are you doing with whatever thing God has given to you? No, you are not using it for its purpose. And because of that, what happens after a while, and it's only after a while, what happens after a while is that it will get destroyed. You self-destruct. Point number seven. Vision will make you go faster in life. Vision will make you go faster in life. Jeremiah 1, 11 and 2. Vision will make you go faster in life. If you think that your pace is small, the pace at which maybe a certain aspect of your life is going is small, please check out what are you seeing in your heart as far as that aspect of your life is concerned. Because once you get God's vision for that aspect of your life, you are going to make quick progress. Jeremiah was asked, Jeremiah 1 verse 11, let's turn to that scripture. Jeremiah was asked by God, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And God's reaction, verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, because I am ready to perform my word. Before God will perform his word, we have to see well. Right? He was inferring to Jeremiah that because you have seen the thing in your heart well, in the old King James, he says, I will hasten my word to fulfill it. So, vision, when you see well, it increases your speed. When you are traveling on a highway and you can see clearly the road ahead of you, automatically, without making an effort to step on the pedal, you'll see that your speedometer is running higher, recording higher speed, just because of vision. It's almost natural. Look at the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk, chapter 2. And then verse number 2. Habakkuk is getting to the end of your Bible. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. That's an important thing about vision. It must always be written down. Not just written down, but you go forward and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who read it. Vision makes us go faster. It makes everybody who see it run, not walk. Write the vision and make it plain on tables. Do you know the tables God was talking about? It's not a table, this wooden table. He was talking about cast the vision in stone. Like the way that the Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God in stone. So that, I mean, no matter what happens, elements acting upon it, because the thing has been engraved, cast into the stone, there is no way the writing can be wiped. That's how God wants you to treat the vision that he gives you. The reason for your planting, the reason for various aspects of your life. He wants you to cast it in stone. Make it fixed. It's something that you must not swerve from the left nor to the right. Cast it. He says that put it in stone so that whoever reads it is going to increase speed. Vision should be cast in stone. Strategies can be changed here and there, but the vision of God, the ultimate of God, is something no leader must compromise it. That one, you don't think about it with people, so to speak. It is what God has given to you for the people, and it is cast in stone. Okay? Now, let's move on, and let's look at the book of Deuteronomy 29:29. Perhaps I should just quote it. It's a very popular piece of scripture. It says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but what has been revealed belongs to us and our children, that we may do what has been revealed. So, if you are a leader, you must not just appreciate the importance of vision as far as moving the organization is concerned, but you must also come to that place where you release the vision to the people.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.